This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Governor Scott Walker said that if he is elected president, he will undo the nuclear deal with Iran on his very first day in office. And we are asking you, how do you feel about Walker's approach? Do you agree or disagree with him? Do you think that the Iran deal is a good deal or a bad deal? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Governor Walker pointed out one of our guests, Kevin Hermaning, who was in the audience when Governor Walker formally announced that he was running for president. Governor Walker appointed to Kevin Hermaning, as Kevin was one of the 52 Americans held hostage in Iran for 35 years.
Kevin knows that Iran is not a place to do business with. You see, Iran hasn't changed much since the day he and the other hostages were released on President Reagan's first day in office. Looking ahead, we need to terminate the bad deal with Iran on the very first day in office.
All right, Kevin Hermaning, let's let you start this this part of the discussion. Do you agree with Governor Walker on terminating this deal on the first day in office?
Well, Orr is practically capable of getting it done. Executive order-wise, I mean, the president we have right now is essentially doing an end round of Congress in putting place, buttressing his argument through the United Nations, something that he promised to not do. Let me make this comment about the deal in general. I think it's a good idea to sit down with your adversaries and hear from them and have them hear from you about what your concerns are, about what solutions could be brought about to resolve challenges that exist between countries. But number one, in any negotiation, you need two honest brokers. I think most people would characterize the Iranians as dishonest brokers. There are some people I hear from occasionally who think even our president is an honest broker in this negotiation as well, but that's a different conversation, and I don't happen to share that. I think the president is trying to do something that he's promised to do for long before he became president, and that is resolve the challenges that existed between Iran and the United States for 35 years. As a U.S. senator, that was his position. When he was a candidate, that was his position. But, Joy, to be candid, Iran has not been an honest broker for 35 years. They were not an honest broker. The U.S. did not get a good deal in 1981 when the hostages were released. It cost our country a lot of money. It cost our country, the United States, a lot of respect on the world stage. It made us into a paper tiger, which we've been now for 35 years. And how can you have a negotiation with Iran that does not include the expectation that they would release the Americans who've been imprisoned and captured and held captive now, in some cases for several years? And whether it's the Christian pastor Abedini, or whether it's the Marine sergeant, or whether it's the family man who returned to visit a family member, or whether it's the reporter from the Washington Post, why wasn't that front and center? Why was our country negotiating on something so foolish without worrying about the lives of these people?
Let me hold you there, Kevin, because we have news. And when we come back from news, we will also hear from Amitabh Paul for his reaction as to whether this deal with Iran is a good one or not. And we will welcome questions and views from our listeners at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. In this half hour's big question, Governor Scott Walker has said that if he is elected president, he will undo the nuclear deal with Iran on his very first day in office. And we are asking how do you feel about Governor Walker's approach? Do you think that that this is a bad deal and needs to be canceled as soon as possible? In other words, do you agree with Governor Walker, or do you disagree with Governor Walker? Do you think that this is a good way to prevent Iran from acquiring a nuclear weapon? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We have two guests with us, differing perspectives on this big question. Kevin Hermaning is a financial planner from Wausau, a conservative political activist, and one of the 52 Americans held hostage in Iran for 35 years ago. And Amitad Paul is the managing editor for the Progressive magazine and author of Islam Means Peace, Understanding the Muslim Principle of Nonviolence Today. And Kevin, just before our news break, I was asking for your opening statement. Let me have you very briefly restate why you think that this is a bad deal, so we can get Amitab to react to that.
Three real quick points. I'll recap. One is that in any negotiation, you need two honest brokers. Iran has not been an honest broker in any negotiation or discussion on the world stage for 35 years. Number two, any negotiation that should have taken place on the important issue of nuclear weapons with Iran in Iran needed to be led first by our country in seeking the immediate release of the four Americans who are held prisoner in Iran, the Christian pastor Abedini, the Marine Corps sergeant, the reporter from the Washington Post, as well as Mr. Leventhal, the FBI agent who was visiting Iran. Where are those Americans? Why aren't they free before we entered into some deal? Thirdly, the deal itself, it does not prevent Iran from acquiring nuclear weapons. It just simply delays it. That's all it does. And already it's come out earlier today, Senator Cotton and a congressman on the House Intelligence Committee, they were in Vienna last week meeting with members of the IAEA, the International Atomic Energy Agency, and they learned of some secret special deals that are being granted to the Iranians that the President of the United States has not let the U.S. Congress into and made aware of. And so this is going to become a major sticking point, I think, in the next 45 or 50 days as Congress wraps up its 60-day review of this very bad deal.
All right. Amitab, Paul, I'm sorry. Just react to this. How do you feel about this deal?
Supporters of Governor Walker would admit, you know, foreign policy is not exactly his strong suit. He showed that when he compared taking on the Wisconsin protesters with battling ISIS. He's shown that again. I would turn to a hero of Governor Walker's, President Reagan, who said, trust but verify. And, you know, entered into arms control negotiations with the Soviet Union, which was at least as untrustworthy, supposedly then, as Iran is now. You have to sort of, you know, ensure that there is compliance, but you can't sort of not enter into this deal. This is fundamentally a good deal. It's not only I'm not the only one who's saying it. Arms control experts within the United States and globally are of an overwhelmingly majority view that this is definitely a good deal. The human rights questions is an important one, but a separate one. And anyway, Iran's behavior is better than our supposed ally, Saudi Arabia's, which is whose internal record and foreign policy record is much worse. But that, as I said, is a separate question. And hopefully, Iran can now be persuaded into releasing these Americans who are they're holding prisoners. And I really do think that this is going to nudge Iran into better behavior, both on the nuclear arms front and generally also.
So, Amitab, how big a setback would undoing the deal be for U.S.-Iranian relations, for that matter, for Middle East peace?
Oh, a huge setback. I think the United States has come out looking so in such a glowing light, I think, internationally because of this deal. Of course, it wasn't just the United States which was involved. This was a multilateral, very, very complicated process. But, you know, if this deal holds and if Iran can be shown to be prevented from acquiring a nuclear weapon, that is to the United States' credit. And after a long while, you know, people are saying that, you know, perhaps President Obama does deserve his Nobel Peace Prize.
We have Pete on Facebook who says the last round of sanctions against Iran were imposed in 1986 because they wouldn't allow us to verify that they weren't building a nuclear weapon. This deal cuts off their ability to develop a weapon and allows us to verify that they are not. In other words, sanctions worked and the sanctions must be lifted or they will never work again. Kevin, what about that?
Yeah, unfortunately, the writer on Facebook is absolutely incorrect. The last round of sanctions that was put on Iran was by the United Nations in 2011, and it was because they wouldn't allow inspectors in from the IAEA. And indeed, the international agency just yesterday confirmed that there is a separate side deal about which they are very concerned with. And anybody who wants to understand why the agency is concerned about it, it's because the most dangerous site of all is the one that the Iranians are denying access to. And the president of the United States is looking to simply burnish a legacy that is going to turn out to be worse than that of Neville Chamberlain, in my mind. And the idea that the multilateral approach to this is anything that is good for the United States. For Germany and France, it was just an economic deal. They are already in the streets of Tehran selling their wares this morning because of this deal. They didn't even wait until it was approved by the Congress and by the Iranian parliament. It's ridiculous and shameful.
Katie on Facebook says this deal gives a nation run by religious fanatics a pathway to a nuke. This is going to lead to war. Either the religious nuts in Israel bomb Iran, or some Tea Party person from the U.S. gets control of a nuke and bombs Iran, or Iran bombs Israel and other nations who don't worship their God. Well, in other words, she says religious fanatics are going to start a war over all this. Amitabh.
Well, you know, I've never bought into that. I've never bought into the notion that Iran's regime is fundamentally irrational. Obviously, they are fundamentalists, but their foreign policy approach and the foreign policy their entire stance is not motivated by this apocalyptic, irrational, messianic type of ideas. They have been pragmatic, they have been careful in self-preservation, and they're not going to engage in act in which they bomb a country irrationally, such as Israel, which would absolutely result in their destruction and the destruction of Iran.
So Governor Walker said that it is very possible that the next president will have to take military action on day one, though he wasn't specifically saying, talking Iran or in general. Kevin, how real a concern is that possibility?
Well, I read that article. I hadn't, it's not as though I sit down with the governor and have conversations about foreign policy with him. I've known the governor for literally 26 years. We campaigned for one another. He's obviously had a much more successful career in that regard than I did. I got stopped at the school board level. But I don't know exactly the context in which the conversation was taking place, but I would say this. To me, the idea that war is the only other solution to this negotiation and this deal, I think, was a straw man. There have been sanctions in place for decades, made a little more harsh in the last couple of years. But the United States has been releasing $700 million of frozen Iranian assets per month for the last 14 months to keep the Iranians at the negotiating table. What did the United States get for that? I would say nothing of value. And so the alternative is not war. The alternative should have been even tighter sanctions with a military blockade, which may have led eventually to the changing of the Islamic Republic leadership. Somebody who wouldn't be continually saying that their primary foreign policy objective, Mr. Paul, I know you just said that you think that they are not fundamentally irrational, yet their stated primary foreign policy objective is to wipe Israel off the entire global map. To me, that is ridiculous.
Amitabh?
Well, Kevin, you know, I mean, there's been a big debate about what Ahmadinejad said, you know, that whole wiping Israel off the map, how misinterpreted that was, especially in the American media. You know,
How about Mr. Khamenei just yesterday, and Mr. Kerry, Secretary Kerry, is already backpedaling on whether or not they can be trusted. This just happened yesterday. Ahmadinejad's out of the picture. This is their current supreme leader.
Yes, I mean, saying that, you know, they are going to sort of militarily attack Israel. I mean, is that what they're saying? I mean, what they say in Farsi, how that sort of, you know, translated into English, how that's reported in the American media. These are all very, very different things. And I don't think they're saying that, you know, they're going to sort of start attacking Israel tomorrow. They're absolutely not saying that.
And we'll have to leave it there. That'll have to be the last word as we are completely out of time. I want to thank both of you very much for being with us. Amitabh Paul is the managing editor for The Progressive Magazine and author of Islam Means Peace, Understanding the Muslim Principle of Nonviolence Today. And Kevin Hermaning is a financial planner from Wausau, a conservative political activist, and one of the 52 Americans held hostage in Iran 35 years ago. We will allow you to vote online on today's big question. You can vote online at WPR.org/joy, or you can find it on Facebook. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.